They looked like they were winning the war. They were attacking not only on sea but on the land, and they were making their way toward Washington, D.C., and the White House, where the president lived. One day, President Madison said to his wife, "Dolly, do you have the courage to stay here in the White House till I come back tomorrow or the next day?" She replied, "I'm not afraid of anything, if only you are not harmed and our army succeeds." The president said, "Well then, goodbye. Take care of yourself, and if anything happens, look out for the cabinet papers." Cabinet papers would be the important papers, the important documents of the country, the things that were of business between the president and his main helpers. They were called the cabinet members. Very important people. There's good reason for Mrs. Madison to be concerned about her husband and about the success of the American army. It was now 1814, and America and England had been fighting in their second war, and it had gone on for 2 years. Many people thought that the president had been wrong in going to war at all. Letters had been sent to him which said, "If this war doesn't come to an end soon, you will be poisoned." That's nasty, isn't it? The city of Washington was in great danger. 4 days earlier, a messenger had ridden in on a sweaty horse to say, 50 British ships are anchoring off the Potomac. 50 British ships? That could contain an awful lot of British soldiers to attack Washington. People in the city of Washington were carrying their property away to the country to save it from the invading British. But still the little lady at the White House would not run away. She had the public papers to guard, and she would not leave. Besides the papers, there was another of the nation's treasures in the White House, a fine portrait of George Washington by the famous artist Gilbert Stuart. The son of Mr. Washington's stepson came to Mrs. Madison to plan for the safety of that portrait. "Whatever happens, that shall be cared for," she had promised this man. At last, a note came to her from her husband, President Madison. There were not always enough guns to go around. Then the men waited patiently or fought with their blacksmith swords till guns could be taken from the enemy. Now you see where the word patiently comes in here? We're learning patience, remember. The men needed guns. They needed weapons to fight the British with. They needed to protect their lives against the British soldiers. But sometimes they couldn't get enough guns. Even then, they waited patiently, or when they could, they fought with their blacksmith-made swords. But one night, Marion's scouts had been out, and they came in and reported, "Some British soldiers are coming down by the river tomorrow, and they will have with them 150 American prisoners." Ah, General Marion was excited about this news. He knew that the British would have to go through a narrow pass. He took possession of that pass, and when the British came along early in the morning, Marion's men attacked them from both in front and behind so suddenly that they lost their heads completely. Those British soldiers panicked. They fired once. Remember, they only had single-shot guns back then, so they had to fire once and reload and fire again. But they only fired once, and then they forgot all about their 150 American prisoners, and they ran for their lives while Marion's men laughed to see them go. Now, Marion could look upon the British soldiers, the men from England, as men who were doing what they thought was their duty. But he had no patience with the Tories. Now, Tories were Americans. Now, little buddies, how does Captain Miles Standish illustrate honesty in always giving a truthful answer? Well, we go back a little way in our story, and you remember that Canonicus, the king of the Narragansett Indians, was angry with the white men because they had made friends with Massasoit, who was his enemy. And he sent a snakeskin stuffed with arrows to the pilgrims to threaten them with war. Captain Standish said, "Well, if he will have war, let him." And he stuffed the snakeskin with gunpowder and with lead bullets. And then he told the Indian messenger who had brought the snakeskin with the arrows in it, he said, "You tell Canonicus that we don't want to fight, but if he does, we are ready for him." Now, why is it remarkable, why is it interesting that Captain Miles Standish would say what he said? "We don't wish to fight, but if he does, we're ready." You see, the Indian tribes respected people who liked to fight. They didn't respect people who didn't like to fight. To them, if a man was brave, he was always interested in a fight. And so Captain Standish knew that by telling the truth, telling the Indians that the Englishmen did not want to fight, did not like to fight, had not come here to fight, it was possible that the Indians would think they were cowards and be that much more likely to want to attack. But he gave an honest answer. In fact, he gave two honest answers. He said, number one, we don't want to fight. But, he said, number two, if Canonicus wants to fight, we are ready. It's always a serious thing to tell the truth. But God honored Miles Standish in being truthful, and Canonicus and his Narragansetts did not attack. Let's try to remember that it's always best to give a truthful answer. That's honesty.